With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Football. Nice. That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you start putting on my big boy pants. You put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Spray.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan. I want it all.
Money, fast cars, diamond rings. Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope your Fridays are going well. Hope everybody's doing okay. We are now in, week three?
Yes.
Of this new quarantine life.
Yeah, it was March 13th.
Was when it all hell broke loose?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when, Wednesday night, that's when the NBA games got canceled.
Got a lot of texts on my phone that still exist that called this BS and way overreaction and how stupid is this?
Here we are. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Sprague has a title question coming up in 12 minutes or so. I also have another title observation because I, too, was watching a past championship yesterday that I would like to discuss.
I feel like it's the same one I watched.
Oh, was it really? And you're saying that wasn't memorable?
I think it's one of the least memorable championships in sports history.
Oh, okay.
I want to know, what are some other least memorable championships in sports history?
I don't
think
he was watching the same thing we were.
Yeah. If you were, then I'm curious where you're...
Oh, were you on MLB Network?
I was.
Oh, no.
Okay,
wait.
Yeah, I was watching...
That's one of the greatest World Series of all time.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was going to say that's a pretty dumb take.
Well, Young Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching Diamondbacks Yankees.
I was watching USC Texas.
I turned
back to that. That was obviously memorable.
I also watched a good chunk last night of Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Did you guys catch any of that?
No. I saw bits of that. That was the Blazer Classic.
Yes.
Now I know the game of which you speak.
You do?
Yes.
Oh. Dirty tease. Mm. Ooh, okay. Hey, well, stick around for 10 minutes and you'll find out.
I'm going to one-up you.
Oh.
Because
oh.
I think there's a...
I'm looking for even more least memorable championships.
There's got to be a lot of them out there.
There's a few, but I think this one stacks up there.
I'd say the World Series one that comes most to mind is White Sox Astros.
That's exactly the one
I was
referring
to. Are we just doing this segment right now?
No, let's get to
Hunters. Okay, hold it. Okay, hold it.
We're already halfway into a segment.
Hold it.
Okay.
Okay, let's pivot.
All right.
Hot Route. Hunters. Season one.
Yeah.
We all finished it. Sprague and I finished on Thursday. We eagerly wanted to talk about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Or no, we finished Wednesday, right? My days are all off here. We're all done.
I like to pace myself. I like a variety every night.
You got to keep your bag fresh. I get it. How we feeling?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alerts left and right. For those of you who finished season one, let's break it down.
Okay. So first, do we let the cat out of the bag? So Pacino is the wolf.
Yes.
Hitler's alive.
Let me get to that in a minute.
How did we feel about the Pacino the Wolf?
I thought reveal? That was
awesome
well
twist.
Done.
Awesome
I
twist.
I thought that was a good twist.
Yes.
It was plausible. It was believable.
Okay, can I give you my main issue? And this is something that you brought up days ago. The kid figured it out in like 20 seconds, like no biggie.
Because like he killed a guy who helped him. But he didn't say a Kurdish prayer.
He was supposed to say the prayer.
Which is what his softa wrote about, that Meyer Offerman used to pray before he'd kill someone.
Yes.
And Pacino's character just kills the guy. No regrets. Goes, why don't you pray? Yada, yada, yada.
He connects the dots in 30 seconds. Boom, he's a wolf.
That was more plausible than him
figuring out the Nazi plans.
Figuring out the, yeah, getting the ship was determining in and why the FBI and police hadn't figured that out.
Okay.
But that, no, I mean, the single motivation and the reason why he went and found what who he thought was the wolf to bring him to him was so he could get the closure. And then when he did, that was the whole point.
Right. He wanted to show that he was man right. enough to take over the hunters.
Yeah.
Which was also a weird scene to open when he's in the hospital bed. And the guy's like, Pacino's kid, the wolf, now that we know, his character is like chiding him for not being tough enough.
Which, by the way, the wolf, if you punted on this show, is one of the lead Nazi
doctor, scientist
people who used to experiment and torture Jewish people.
This is a good point. Somebody said, I totally thought the surgeon was going to be his grandpa, and Meyer and Jonas served him up to the wolf. That I was a little worried that when he first killed him and then he connects the dots and he's the wolf, my immediate thought was, wait, who did he just kill? Who was that guy? Because there was a connection there. He was German, and the name was on the fridge and all that, but it sounds like he was just another Nazi.
No, he was the guy, he was the doctor that did the
plastic
surgery, the wolf would look like Meyer Offerman.
Okay.
So that's how they were connected.
So how do we feel about the rest of the episode?
Well, I was concerned, the Joe kidnapping was a little like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know where to go with this blonde MI6 nun.
Uh-huh.
Is she working for the Nazi group, or does she have somebody in the Nazi group where she has to pretend to be a Nazi and that girl or that person gives her Nazi information that she then shares with the
hunters? Okay with that, because clearly once they got into it, they were setting it up for a second season.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Okay. So not everything has to be neat and tidy. I get that.
Sure.
I like the fact that we're still guessing, okay, who... Which side is she really on?
Yeah, you've gone back and forth.
That's
first, you thought she was a traitor, and then she proved herself by giving the prisoner to the couple. But then she's meeting with this doctor, and then they show you her backstory, which makes you think that she is anti-Nazi,
right?
Because of the way
she's
she grew
Jewish.
Up.
Yeah.
She's Jewish, and then you have no clue where she's leaning.
None.
No clue at all.
I'm okay with that. It was really good. Then they get to the last scene. I was trying to figure out what the boy with the red rubber balls and the corn maze was going
that's
on.
What
and
I was
to finally
doing.
Get in, and then at the end they show you. See, I was okay. I think they kidnap Joe and they want Joe to train those four boys to be the next, you know, obviously because the ones that she trained, the German ones,
they're all gone.
Travis all took out. She's like, okay, I gotta
pretty weak.
Gotta have tougher ones here. So we're gonna go get Joe and make him train them.
How intense was that prison scene, by the way?
Oh,
when he brings the Jewish lawyer in.
Yep.
I had a problem with that.
Spectacle.
I'll tell you why I had a problem with that. One, the parents come in. Travis's parents come in. He's gotten the crap beat out of him. And he puts on this like sob story of feel bad for
me.
Help
beat
me.
Him. He did that to himself. Because he wasn't like that when Millie was there.
Well, how do you know?
I am of the belief he did that to himself to perpetrate or go with
to
the story to his
sympathize.
Parents to be a sympathetic figure.
I see. I picked up on him getting his ass kicked because he says that he has to create a scene to get respect because they only respect you if you're tough in there. I think that's why I concluded he got his ass kicked because nobody knew who he was. My problem was the parent scene. Puts on this show for the mom. The mom's in disbelief that her son's a murderer. The dad caught on instantly in that meeting said, you could tell the dad was not in on it. So the parents walk away and they agree to get him this high priced Jewish attorney. The dad's not okay in that. I'm not buying that. I just don't think that happens.
Okay.
I think the mom begs the dad, get an attorney. He's going to get help. And the dad's like, no, dude, this guy just murdered a kid.
Yeah. He admitted to it.
He
to
admitted
the parents.
To it. He's a psychopath.
Yeah. We're not helping him out.
I'm no way that real life they're giving him that attorney.
By the way, how...
Also, no guard in that cell?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Like, the guy might have been able to stick sneak a shiv in.
I mean, it looked like it was an actual... What did he have?
Like an ice pick or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was hard to tell what
but
he was.
Really, like, no guard?
Yeah.
It was still an intense scene.
Well.
Yeah, it was a...
all of that I was fine with. We were concluding... And then the mustache shows up, and I lost all respect for it.
Michael Jordan in a Hanes commercial?
Whoa.
It was.
As soon as the doors opened, I knew it was coming.
You
I'm
knew
like,
it was
oh
gonna be
my
him.
God.
I thought it was going to be Biff. I thought they would have.
No, because he ends up, where did he end up?
Russia.
He went to Russia.
But I thought he was just fleeing, and then somehow she went and found him and got him to Argentina.
Which I think could create some cool Cold War storylines for season two, with Biff being in Russia, the USSR, him going over there.
How they helped, and then they also acted like they cared.
Because you got late 70s, so this is all heating up. You know, that could be a fun storyline in season two.
But no, the Hitler being alive thing at the end, it wrecked the end.
It wrecked it.
Yes.
How pivotal of a role is he going to play in season two would be my question. Is he like in it? Is he like a main character? Is he in the background?
That's not the point of it. It's the next gen. It's what he, you know, what all the Nazis believed and why they were so militant in defense. You don't need him there for the movement to go on.
You're not wrong.
It's
the whole season's been going on without
Hollywood cheese. It wrecked it.
See, I think it adds just an interesting angle of what are they doing with him for season two? Or is it just to show, hey, he's still around?
I think it was total Hollywood for some shock value. I think it ends up detracting from it because you already had Jonah was in to carry it on for maybe more righteous. You know, now he's feeling more righteous than ever after he got duped by the wolf. And you've got then the colonel who's re-upping and doubling down, you know.
How did we find out that she was Eva Braun, by the way? Is that a thing? Did I miss a line in there?
No, she sits next to...
So we're just assuming? There was
a line. She was specifically mentioned as Eva.
Okay, she was. I didn't know if I had missed that or not. Okay,
in the subtitles. Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
By the way, the milk blood scene. You got to drink her blood in the white milk.
Yeah, that was a little...
To be pure or whatever the hell they'd say. I am glad they put it in Argentina because that is real.
Yeah, that
Argentina
part of
used to house Nazis all the time. And I'm pretty sure to say there's still Nazis that weren't discovered that ended up living normal lives and they had kids and there's probably some descendants down there.
No, I was wholeheartedly disappointed at that cheesy ending.
I don't disagree with you there. It was not needed. It was all for sure. I'm with you. That's not necessary.
It's about, you know, the second season is about, okay, each side retrenching for the next generation to gear up for the fight.
I'm at about a 7.3 out of 10 on that season. It was a good show.
I agree with that.
It had some really kick-ass episodes, but it had a lot of questions and conclusions that they got to that I couldn't quite connect those dots as quickly as they did.
Are we eagerly awaiting a second season? Are we going to watch it? There's going to be another season.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to watch it.
We'll watch it. Okay. I want to see where the story... And I'm of the belief it's going to be, I don't know, 8-10 years in the future because you can't... I don't know how you really do it with Travis in the pokey recruiting. Like, obviously, he killed that. They got it on videotape. He's going to be there for a while.
Right, he's not going anywhere.
So...
Yeah, he wanted to be there for longer.
Yeah, he's trying to recruit an army.
So, and so it doesn't make any sense until he's at a point where he's either recruited enough and is orchestrating things from his prison cell or is about to get out.
I could see season two. It's going to go one of two ways for me. Season two is either going to be really good... Or I will not be watching that show.
Totally jumping the shark.
Yeah.
Hitler's back in the mix.
They break Travis out after 2 years. He's got 80 people now. Some real unrealistic crap.
So I would let time. I would let a significant amount of time pass, and then as they in the first season would show what happened, they would do flashbacks to what happened in the concentration camps to explain why whatever's going on now.
I hope you're right, but I don't think they will because they showed Hitler. You don't tease Hitler unless Hitler's part of your story somehow. That's my hot take.
I don't know. We'll see.
You know what kind of a similar comparison to that, though, is how many times in Game of Thrones did they show the White Walkers at the end of the season and then they weren't around the next year, basically?
But the difference in that story is...
They were always this looming threat.
They were the big threat.
Right, but they would show them in a finale and you'd think, oh God, a big war's coming, and then the next season would roll around and you wouldn't mention them at all.
But if you go 20 years... To get Travis out of prison, you go 20 years down the road, Hitler's dead.
Yeah, that is.
He's not going to live forever.
A couple of quick thoughts here at the fan text line. Somebody said, I think you're underestimating the power of a wife to convince her husband of things for their child. Another one, in the beginning, I thought Meyer was the one that killed Jonah's grandmother. Did Jonah's grandma know the wolf was Meyer? Did she connect the dots, potentially?
I don't think she did. Because they had the scene on the couch
She found the surgeon. She knew who that was.
I think maybe she had a hunch. You know what? That's a good point. That's I'll retract. Because she had the surgeon's contact on the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if she didn't figure it out, but she was getting close to, because you remember the conversation they flashed back to on the couch where she said, you look different.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, it's age.
Yeah.
And then you see the surgeon. So maybe she was connecting dots to wonder, is that really Meyer?
And then he says, why can't we just sit here in silence? He didn't even want to like talk to
her. Didn't want to talk to her.
It was a weird,
because she would bring up things that he probably didn't know.
Yeah. So maybe she was starting. I thought that was an interesting one. Somebody said, but how many of the Nazis know he's alive? They've all been dealing with the colonel. He was never really mentioned. So maybe he's not that big of a part. And somebody said, you're forgetting that there were several conspiracy theories that Hitler actually survived the war and sought refuge in Argentina. We know that. A lot of Nazis went to Argentina. We know that.
Yeah.
Most of them. Obviously, if the Hitler one has been debunked.
You read that one in Nazi Hunter book, and it's pretty interesting.
I don't know. Good, not great season, and we'll watch season two. But if you watch season one of Hunters, what do you guys think? If you watch it, if not, go catch up. I think it's worth a watch. It was pretty good.
We'll have to do a book. A movie.
We'll do a movie next. Yeah, so we'll spitball on that over the weekend. We'll come up with something. We'd love to watch a movie, kind of I'll watch one night with listeners and then break it down the next day. Let's get to Sprague's question. The least memorable championship of all time?
Who is the least memorable pro sports champion or championship of all time? Series or Super Bowl, doesn't matter. I think I watched it last night.
Okay. We all have our examples and analogies that we'll throw out there. What's your least memorable champion of all time? 55305. That's next on The Fan. RIP to one of the GOATs, Bill Withers, passed away today. Listen to Bill Withers this weekend, man. If you haven't watched it, I highly suggest the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction show. It was great back in 2015. He gave a great speech. There's a great video montage of him and then an incredible concert.
I believe one of our listeners, one of our P1s earlier texted in that the documentary you allude to is called Soul Power.
Okay. Really, yeah, it came out about a decade ago. That's worth a watch as well. I don't know if it's on Netflix or Amazon or anything, but if you can find that out there too. It's a pretty incredible character. So,
well, maybe it wasn't. I'd have to go back.
I thought it was Still Bill. I thought that's what it was called, but I might be wrong on that, if we can find that.
Well, Soul Power, okay, so it's about James Brown, Bill Withers, B.B. King.
Okay,
so there's a combo, mixed into it. But yeah, there might be another one you're talking about, which is just Withers.
Okay, well, we've all been spending some time, we're just a little desperate for sports and rewatching championships. Last night, I did not watch the Rose Bowl. I'd forgotten that was on, but I did partake in a little game two of the NBA Finals. Danny Ainge, just nails down the stretch. Just nails. God, I loved that team. So I watched a little bit of that. And then I also watched I think it was game four, 2001 World Series, Yankees and Diamondbacks.
That Brocious walk-off?
That was the Derek Jeter walk-off that...
Yeah, back-to-back games, right?
Tino Martinez tied it in the ninth. They were down to their last down. It was 3-1, and Curt Schilling had dominated. They went to Byung-Young Kim in the eighth. He struck out the side in the eighth. They brought him back out for the ninth. Because he was a closer, so you're going in for him for six outs. And he had two outs, runner on first. That was 3-1. Tino Martinez, first pitch. Two-run bomb, ties it up, and then I believe Jeets hit the walk-off in extra innings. But you watched one that apparently was not memorable?
Well, I watched it, and when it happened, I watched it. And I remember walking away. I watched it with two friends, and I remember our thoughts were just kind of like, yeah, okay. And then we just went out and shot hoops.
Yeah.
It was on NBA TV, and it was the 2005 NBA Finals. Do you even know who was in it?
My ballpark guess would be San Antonio, New Jersey?
San Antonio, Detroit.
Detroit.
And it went seven, and it came down to the last 3 minutes of the game. And it's got to be in the conversation of least memorable championship of all time.
I got to admit, I don't remember much from that series.
The final score was like 75-69 or 71.
Yeah. It was basketball, baby.
It was... It was ugly. It was defensive. Obviously, those two teams being involved, you knew it was going to be. But I remember watching that series, and in the moment, I didn't feel like it was even that great. Like, it was a good back and forth in the sense of they're stealing games from each other.
And it went to seven.
But even the mood, I forgot Al Michaels was on the call. Al Michaels was calling basketball for like 2 or 3 years before they had switched their broadcasting crew. So it was Hubie and Al Michaels.
Hmm.
And it was just weird. Like, it didn't have the Game 7 feel unless you were probably there. But, yeah, watching it was just surreal because you remember, oh, yeah, Detroit would have won back-to-back championships had they won that Game 7.
Yeah, they beat L.A. the year previous in five games. Mm-hmm. That ended the Lakers' run. Or not, because San Antonio won the year previous to that. So apologies to that. But yeah,
well, that was it for Kobe Shaq, though.
That was it, yeah. That was the, I believe, the Malone and Gary Payton team.
Shaq went to Miami that next summer after they lost to the Pistons, and then Shaq and D-Wade won it 2 years later.
Can I give you one other NBA one? Now, there's an individual player that will probably stand out from this, especially as of recently, but I was scrolling through NBA Finals and trying to think of which ones I don't remember anything from. 2009 is one for me.
Lakers Magic?
I remember Orlando stealing game one at like an alley-oop at the buzzer or something like that. Didn't they win? I think they won game one in L.A.
I'd have to go back and look. I don't know.
I feel like that's the only memory I have is like
they
Jameer
won the series
Nelson.
In five.
And they won the Lakers just steamrolled them. So that had the Kobe, the first Kobe winning one without Shaq, but I don't remember squat from that series.
The 09, the only reason I remember 09 finals more so is because 09 was the puppet year for Nike. Nike had that big LeBron Kobe puppet showdown on commercials. Nike was convinced they were going to meet in the NBA Finals, so they drove that campaign, and that was the year, remember, Orlando upset a 60-plus win Cav team in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you got Lakers. So Dwight Howard was a beast. They were dealing with Rafer Alston, who was playing point guard because Jameer Nelson had gotten hurt. Hedo Turkoglu was really good in that series. Rashard Lewis was still doing something. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of with you in the general sense of it wasn't really a memorable series. But I only remember that more so because that was our 1 year where we should have had LeBron versus Kobe in the championship.
And LeBron hit the game winner, and I think that was game one against Orlando. He hit that game-winning three, I think, or game two
I think
something.
That might have been game two because Orlando kicked their ass.
Yeah, and then the series was over after that. Okay, can I throw a couple of World Series at you?
Yeah, I believe we mentioned that White Sox-Astros. The only thing...
I disagree with you guys on that.
The only thing I remember from that series was there was a weird, goofy bunt play with A.J. Pierzynski that was controversial. The umps couldn't figure out some weird ruling. That's the only thing I remember from that series.
I don't even remember that. See, I just remember Bobby Jenks, Paul Konerko hitting a big home run.
Juan Uribe.
Juan Uribe.
See, I disagree with you guys. I get it. It's a sweep. It was a one-off with Chicago as the White Sox winning a World Series. But that's why I remember that is because it's one of the more random years. Like, wait, the White Sox won the World Series?
It's also a unique one to look at now because Houston has changed leagues since then. They were a National League team still in 2002. Now, let me ask you this, though, and I want to throw another one out there.
Everything okay in there?
You all right over there? Does anybody have a recollection, and you might have looked this up, so if you did, don't answer, of the 2006 World Series?
Oh, I didn't look it up.
So this would have been the year after that. So the Red Sox won their first one in 04.
Yeah.
That broke the curse. And then it was White Sox Astros in 2005. That was also a sweep.
06, was that Marlins Indians?
No, that was 07.
No, Marlins Indians was
Yankees Marlins was 07.
No. Hold on.
Yankees Marlins 07.
No. Oh, 2000. No.
No.
Yankees and Marlins was 2003. Marlins
right.
and Indians was 1997.
I just watched that one.
Yeah, that was a great seven-game series. Yes, the Marlins beat the Yankees in 2003.
2006 was the Cardinals.
It was the Cardinals. Do you have any clue who they beat?
Angels.
No.
Was that the Rangers?
No. Oh. They beat the Rangers the year after the Giants beat the Rangers in 2011.
Because that series was
unbelievable. Proving my
that
example.
That was David Freese.
Maybe. Yeah, that was a great series.
That was
went
a great
seven.
Series.
Wait.
And the Rangers were an out away from winning it in game six, and they tied it, and then Freese hit the walk-off, and then the Cardinals went on to win game seven.
Okay, 06.
Cardinals. 06.
This might take the cake. If you can't remember it, because at least we can remember White Sox and Astros. You can remember the opponents.
This is the equivalent of Piston Spurs, though.
You can't even name me who they played. Who'd the Cardinals beat in 2006, 55305?
I'm not looking at the text line because I know somebody's already texted in.
I would have never guessed this. If you had asked me, I would have told you the Cardinals won.
Tigers?
It was the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
They beat them in five games. Do you remember anything about the 2006 World Series?
Was David Eckstein the MVP?
I don't know.
If it was Eckstein, that would be the one thing I'd remember.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Albert Pujols was good, I could tell you that. Adam Wainwright, I'm sure.
Somebody texted in the Rockies.
And the Rockies were there in 07.
Yeah.
They lost.
They got swept,
They got swept by the Red Sox.
They got swept by the Red Sox.
That was because the Rockies won, like, they had to win like 19 of 20 at the end of the regular season to get in, and then they steamrolled the National League.
They swept their way to the World Series.
And then the Red Sox just crushed
us. Everybody was loving the Rockies, too, because they had gotten so hot, and they said, they're too hot, you can't stop them.
David Eckstein was indeed the MVP of World Series. Yeah.
2006?
The random David Eckstein.
Now,
year.
Which one do we see as least memorable, 05 or 06? And does any others come to mind? What do you remember about the 1998 World Series? Do you remember who the Yankees beat that year?
Padres. Sweep. Tony Gwynn. I remember that one.
You remember that one? Yeah. Okay. Just because it was the Yankees or it was Tony Gwynn?
That was their three-peat.
That was number one of their three-peat. Yeah. Yeah. And then they went and beat the Braves and they beat the Mets.
All right. Well,
and they had also won in 96. So they would.
Yeah, we know, Dirt.
Okay.
We know.
They beat the Braves that year, too.
Oh. Yeah, we get it.
Lynch is going to be in here any second.
Sorry.
Just drooling. So stop it.
My apologies.
Look, 05, I get what you guys are saying, but I remember really rooting for the White Sox because it was so random. 06 has got to be the answer for me. I don't remember that series much at all.
Okay, let me roll through some of these.
I don't even remember who the Tigers studs were. Was it Verlander?
I think Verlander was young in his career, yeah. Let me roll through some of these. Now, which one comes to mind for the Super Bowl? Being least memorable for you guys.
Colts, Bears.
That's a pretty good one, but it was Peyton winning the first one. At
yeah,
least.
I know, but the game it was raining. It was
Rex Grossman
game.
You know what one is good? If we didn't live in the Northwest, one that I would completely forget about
Steelers,
is 2005.
Seahawks.
Yeah, Steelers Seahawks. That game was atrocious.
It wasn't a good game.
21-10. Roethlisberger was terrible.
It was only good because of the ref debacles.
Yeah.
Yes.
As the only reason people remember that Super Bowl.
Yeah, the holding, non-holding. Ravens, Giants, probably one for people, but the Ravens were so dominant. You kind of remember
defense.
That at least.
Well, and also that was the random Kerry Collins, and they beat the Vikings. They killed them in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I thought the Vikings were finally going to
that was their year
get back from what they didn't get in 98. Dante Culpepper was their quarterback now, and I thought they were going to beat the Giants. They got bludgeoned in that game.
I guess it kind of speaks to the Super Bowl a little bit. I think if you go 10 years down the line.
I'll give you one.
Not last year's Niners, but Chiefs, but the year before that will be one. 10 years down the line. You might remember it for being Brady's last, but that game will be forgettable. 13-3.
Well, one, I think Denver-Atlanta is a pretty not memorable Super Bowl. That game sucked.
That was the second part of the – that was Elway's second one, right?
You know, this game wasn't bad, but I don't know if it comes to the top of your mind when you think about great Super Bowls. What about the 2011 Super Bowl? Or the 2010 season played in 2011?
Was that the second Giants-Pats?
Nope.
2010. Was it Packers?
Yep.
Packers Steelers.
Yeah. What do you remember from that game?
I actually rewatched a little bit of that game.
I remember
game
Charles Woodson breaking his arm. That's what I remember.
Yeah. There's not a lot of memorable plays from that game.
Or
at
his
least
collarbone.
In my mind. Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad one. Although it was a decently close game, was it not?
It's 6 points. It was 31-25 was the final.
Yeah. So at least it came down to the wire. That's a decent one.
It's hard to name Super Bowls, though, sure. Because as you're mentioning,
it's such a big deal.
It's a universal watch.
Yeah. What do you think? What are the most most forgettable championships over the years? We'll read some of your thoughts at the fan text line. Also, we will spread the line, so keep your fake sponsors rolling in. We'll do those next. Sprague and Line brought to you by fake sponsors. Don't you dare stop this segment, Sprague. This is all we got right now. You're not in the mood. You get in the mood.
We hate you and we want you to know it. Don't you dare get rid of this.
Sprague and Line, just like the Paz Easter egg die kit, we're not changing a damn thing. You guys still dying Easter eggs?
No.
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 He has risen. No, nobody.
It's he is or he has?
He is. Well, he has and he is. Both. They both apply.
Come on, you're a Lutheran. You got to tell me.
Yeah, the Lutes go both ways.
The Lutes?
The Lutes.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, the Lutes, man. They go both ways. Sweet Lute Fisk. They go both ways. Swag and Line brought to you by Rex Ryan. These picks stink, but they smell like feet, so Rex is on board.
Swag, if you were to adopt a religion, which one do you think you identify most with?
Oh, that's a good question.
I have no idea.
Be a Buddhist?
It's a great answer.
You'd be a being just into Buddhism.
Hey, man, I'm a hippie. I just want peace.
I'd drink Joe Boo's rum. That's what I would do.
That doesn't sound how you think it sounds.
Spring and Line brought to you by Buddy Ryan's Turd of a Son, Rex. Spriggan Live brought to you by U-Turds, stinking these picks up for the last 5 years. Oh, we've been doing it for longer than that.
Swag for sure couldn't be Catholic.
No, no, he's not Catholic.
No way.
Too strict.
I mean, I think at best you're non-denominational Christian.
That's where he's going.
Like, what's your specific belief? Don't worry about it. We don't worry about it in that church.
God's everywhere. Spriggan Live brought to you by Booger McFarland. Even Booger's play-by-play of sex tapes is better than any gambling advice from Sprague.
Oh, I don't... I mean... You want to watch a Booger's...
Let me tell you a joke! Eesh. He's having a big impact on the game tonight.
Spriggan Live brought to you by Hunters, because Sprague can't hunt for good picks. Got some other funny ones we'll get to in a moment. I'm going to rattle through a couple of these to get your thoughts. Hold on, I got to scroll back. No. Carolina-Denver was terrible, unmemorable Super Bowl. And that was a pretty bad game. What do you remember outside of Cam Newton not diving on a fumble and like a Von Miller sack? What do you remember from that game?
It's not as bad as the Patriot-Panther Super Bowl.
No, that was tight at the end, wasn't it?
That game sucked.
That game did
suck. We just talked about this.
The first half was horrible.
Okay, half the game is bad and then suddenly it's okay.
Alabama championship against Notre Dame. That's a good one if you go the college route. I thought this was interesting too. Now, this might upset mainly Swigard. I got to find the text.
LSU and Alabama championship's bad. We only remember because of how bad it was.
Yeah. Somebody said
the Cowboys won over the Steelers.
No. Somebody said least memorable sports championship of all time. Honestly, other than a few exceptions, the NCAA tournament every year.
Yes. That's a very good point.
That is a pretty good point.
You get a handful of them that you always remember.
Can we play a fun game?
Who was in the Final Four last year?
I can't tell you Final Four. I could tell you title just because we randomly talked about it. It was Texas Tech and Virginia.
Auburn was in there,
and
they were in the Final Four last year.
Remember that? Yeah, they had a great run.
The Barkley stuff.
Well, I just remember them having a great run.
Oh, okay.
And
who else you got? Anybody else?
What conference?
Virginia, Texas Tech,
Virginia, Texas Tech, Auburn, and LSU.
It was 61-51. Texas Tech beat this team 61-51. Virginia Auburn was a good game. They won by one, 63-62.
Washington, Seattle, I'll never forget. Oklahoma? No.
No, that's a couple years ago with Buddy Hield.
I would have never guessed this.
Michigan.
Same state.
Michigan State?
Michigan State was in the Final Four last year. You remember that?
No.
No.
Not at all. They lost to Texas Tech 61-51.
We romanticize the NCAA tournament as if it's something that it really isn't.
Yeah, I want to like...
We love the first 2 days. Then we kind of lag with some of the Sweet 16, Elite Eight stuff. Unless our team's in it, then we're all in. And then we come back together for the Final Four, and then even then, it's really not as memorable as you think.
The first 4 days of the tournament are what... Yeah, that's yes. what you yeah. remember. But outside of that, yeah, it's like,
But
yeah.
no, unless you get, you know, the Villanova-North Carolina game...
How many in a row? I'm going to do a quick quiz. How many in a row going previous years can you name me of NCAA basketball champions?
I'm going to be done after one.
So we clearly got Virginia last year. Can you name me the 2018 champion?
Villanova.
Yes. Can you name me 2017?
North Carolina.
Yes. 2016?
Villanova.
Yes. 2015. I don't remember anything from this. Actually, now I do, just because one guy was tweeting about it the other day.
Kentucky?
Wisconsin was the loser.
Oh, Duke.
Duke.
Yeah.
Year before that, Kentucky was the loser.
Oh, that was that 2 8 seeds or something? Random?
Could have been.
No. Was that 14?
This is 2014?
This is 2014.
Dude.
That's how far back we've gotten.
Is that UConn? Was that Kevin Ollie?
That was UConn.
Kevin Ollie!
60-54. They beat Kentucky that year.
Game kind of sucked.
And yeah, so maybe the recent memory isn't as bad as I thought. Final Four probably is. You had Louisville, Kentucky, UConn, Duke previously years after that. So
Louisville didn't win it.
That's true. That one does not exist.
Thanks to some hookers, that doesn't exist.
There's no winner in 2013.
Let's see here. So yeah, Spurs, Pistons, NBA Finals was so unbelievably boring.
Yes.
That was from P1 Scotty.
Yes.
Here's a full list from a listener. He said NFL, I go 2000 Ravens. NBA, I go 1999 Spurs.
The strike-shortened season against the 8-seed Knicks?
Against the Knicks.
Oh, they swept them, but that was a crazy playoff.
What do you remember from that finals?
Avery Johnson's shot.
I do remember Avery Johnson.
On the baseline.
Yeah, I do remember Avery Johnson. And he says 2005 White Sox was his.
Well, and watching David Robinson and Tim Duncan for a few years was awesome.
Yeah.
The Twin Towers.
I guess some validity.
Larry Johnson and his gold tooth. Could he do it with Sprewell?
We got...
the second version of the Twin Towers. The original Twin Towers Ralph were in Houston.
Ralph and Akeem.
Chargers Niners was texted in.
But that was Steve Young's moment. Like,
if you're not a Niner fan, though,
that game was a blowout.
That was incredibly boring.
They killed them. You're biased coming from your angle. I think there's ways to say the game wasn't great, but when you say least memorable, it's like you don't remember it at all. You don't remember Steve Young. Steve Young had the greatest game in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, he did.
So you'd be more in line like the Tampa Raiders Super Bowl. The only thing that you remember,
I don't remember much from that game at all.
It's Gruden.
I think the most memorable thing was Barrett Robbins was
disappeared
in Mexico, and they had no idea where he was.
That was like Ray Buchanan got a hooker the night before for Atlanta Denver, and that they ended up getting torched in that game. And Bear was like, "Oh, good job, Ray Buchanan," or no, Eugene Robinson.
It was Eugene Robinson.
Yeah. I'm being unfair to Ray Buchanan.
Yeah, get the right
name.
It was
Eugene Robinson.
Yeah, somebody's trying to argue the second Ravens Super Bowl was forgettable over the Niners. I disagree with that because of the power outage.
Yeah. The power outage, and it came down to the 5-yard line.
It did, but that game was
the first half was bad.
First half was terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, that game really sucked till the blackout.
The Cowboys Steelers one.
That's a good one.
When Neil 96. O'Donnell threw 800 interceptions.
Larry Brown was the MVP.
Larry Brown was the MVP. Look, I was a Cowboys fan, so I was all in, but that was a crappy game.
I'll give you that. That's one of mine, too, because I remember watching that game as a youngster going, oh, this game sucks. Cowboys are going to win.
Somebody said Eugene Robinson won the Citizenship Award the year before that, too. Apparently, when RP was just saying.
Yes, he did.
God, how about that?
Getting prostitution shouldn't be a crime, but
that's
a different conversation for a different day.
Now, I forgot this for many reasons. I don't even think this World Series exists, but I will throw it out there to see your opinions of it. Somebody's arguing Angels-Giants.
Not memorable?
No,
the Rally Monkey?
The
Bonds?
Rally Monkey? Yeah.
Come on. I mean, JT Snow grabbing Dusty Baker's kid?
Yeah.
2002 didn't happen, so I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I was just curious to
I would say more 1990, the Reds sweeping the A's.
Nothing on that series.
Couldn't tell you one
How many in the
thing.
Row did the A's go to?
They went to three. The only one they won was the Earthquake series. They got beat 89. By the Dodgers.
Who'd they
Kirk
beat
Gibson.
Who'd they beat in that one?
Didn't happen.
Who'd they beat in 89? What team was that? Was it close?
It would have been close if it wasn't a damn earthquake.
Who won in the even year of 2002?
2002.
Should we go back over 90s World Series history?
Hey!
Do we need to do that segment again?
Hey!
Do we want to list how many years it's been since 1988? Because we can count those off one at a time if you would like.
This segment's already about making me feel bad. We don't need to do it more. You know what they played yesterday?
What they played.
Game bleeping 7 of the 91 World Series.
I actually watched a good chunk of that the other night, too, because I hadn't seen much of that game. If you want a fun thing, though, for Braves fans, because you're wearing your Braves hat today, I believe today on the MLB Network's like Braves Day.
Well, today should have been their home opener. That's why I wore the hat.
Yeah, they had a documentary thing on the Braves. They're showing their win over Pittsburgh.
Let's go.
Seven win over Pittsburgh.
LCS.
Smoltz and Doug
And then they
Drayback.
Have like a sit down, I think, of Smoltz, Glavin, and Maddox. There's like a joint interview with them like all day on the MLB Network.
Can you kill like 2 seconds? I have a crazy stat about Maddox that I'm sure everybody's heard, but I want to reiterate how great he was.
Okay. Let me see if there's any other ones here that we're missing in terms of unforgettable championships. It does not look like it. Yeah, the Ravens Giants have got texted in a lot. That one, I just remember Kerry Collins throwing, what did he throw, 5 picks in that Super Bowl, I think it was?
He was so bad.
He was so bad that people thought that he was on the take.
But remember, it started with a kickoff return. No, that was the Bears one I'm thinking of.
There might have been a kickoff return in that game, though. I think it was the second half. I think you might be right, but I think
it was.
They were down big, and they returned the kick in the second half, and it was like, oh, they got a chance, and then it was more bloodbath. I'll get a couple more sponsors in. Spring and Line brought to you by the Mariners World Series Parade. What year was that one?
Ouch.
Spring and Line brought to you by Sprague's Bank Account, better drainage than Langdon Farms.
Wow.
And that's good drainage. Spring Line brought to you by fake sponsors. If they're good enough, they might just become real sponsors so the host can get a break long enough to, this one cut off, probably go to pee. I'm assuming is what the listener was trying to say. Spring Line brought to you by One Medium Pizza ordering, still listening to iTunes guy, Brandon Sprague. Spring Line brought to you by...
I guess it's not iTunes, huh? It's Apple Music now.
Yeah, come on, get your stuff right. Brought to you by Sports Like the NCAA Champs. Nobody knows the last time Sprague won a pick.
Yeah, it's every once in a while, every once every 5 days.
Now, one last one I'll throw
out
before
you. I cannot find this stat.
Was it about his like walks or strikeouts or something like that? Yeah, Greg Maddux has a lot of those in his career.
But yeah, I remember reading it in a
parking
lot.
There was one that he had not gotten to like a 3-1 count. He didn't hit like a 3-1 count the entire season or something.
That's
like
what I'm looking for. I think I'm close to it.
Okay,
Quick had it a long time ago, and I meant to bring it up. Turns out Jason Quick tweets a lot more than I thought.
Hey, he's staying up with the tweets, man. Now, let me ask this. I'll fast forward 10 years from now. How vividly will you remember last year's NBA Finals?
I don't know. But
Kevin Durant
always,
going down was big. I get that.
I'll always remember Toronto winning their one championship, basically.
Okay. Okay. Well, keep scrolling for the Greg Maddux tweet. We'll see if we can find it. Fun stat on him. We got a poll question, and we'll
when
get
you.
When
the hell did he tweet this?
There's something coming for NFL fans we'll let you know about. And then next week, the favorite Blazer of all time bracket around the corner. We'll wrap things up next on The Fan. There you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend every Friday. Another
found
week
it.
Down. You found it. What's the Greg Maddux stat?
So, sans the intentional walks in certain moments. Greg Maddux faced 20,421 batters in his career, and only 133 saw a 3-0 count.
That's just crazy. That's along those lines of like Tony Gwynn strikeout numbers.
Yes.
Kind of like those are in those similar category.
How did they only win one? That's probably the most frustrating part about being a Braves fan.
That's a huge what if of the baseball.
They were all healthy.
Last 30 years of baseball history.
They played. They were healthy.
Yeah, but would you ever find a better trio of starting pitchers? I mean,
no.
That is as good as it gets.
Not for as long as they had
them. For as long as they were. Yeah, maybe short runs here and there. But
three first ballot Hall of Famers for a decade?
Right. Mm. And to only win one title with those. Pitching wins championships. At least that's what they tell you. It's okay. It's all right. They're good again. Got good young talent again.
Yeah, and what did they do last year against the Cardinals?
It's all right. They got to a game five. We don't need to talk about game five. They got to game five. Progress.
They were down 10-0
Remember
at the end of the top of the first.
That's still one of my more memorable shows of the last year was when that, because that game, first pitch happened right at like the start of the show.
It was so bad.
Just staring up at the TV in awe of, is this happening? You just don't ever see that. That was crazy.
You know, it got to like 4-5 and you would like jokingly say something. And then it got to like 8-0 and you started like glancing but not looking at me like, oh God. I can't say anything now.
This is awkward.
Because when it gets that bad, you don't antagonize. You just...
Yeah. Your stages of grief that day were pretty funny. There was like the disbelief, the pure anger, the laughing about it, the sadness. You were a roller coaster of emotions that day.
And it was great to go home and then turn the radio on and hear the next show laugh about how bad that is. Because
right.
I think Sukanik hates the Braves, so he loved it, of course.
Yeah, people saying don't forget about Steve Avery either, too.
Yeah.
God, those teams were loaded, man. Absolutely loaded. One other hot take I had on base. This isn't even a hot take, but just a take that I had forgotten about. Can I make the case that Byung-Young Kim's one of the luckiest guys in baseball history? Because let's say he doesn't have Schilling and Randy Johnson's pure dominance in that World Series. Schilling dominated game one. Randy Johnson threw a complete game shutout in game two. Schilling then won game. Johnson won game six. And then Schilling and Johnson both pitched in game
Johnson
seven.
Johnson came out of the bullpen.
And Schilling threw great in game four, a game that he blew. He only gave up one like solo home run, and that was it. It was like one hit for it. It's seven innings. He was dominant. They were dominant. That. If they don't have those guys in that series, the Diamondbacks, first off, are probably getting swept.
Well, they're not even there, I don't think.
Sure, that's a valid point, too. But let's say they don't pitch well. Byung-Young Kim is remembered as like one of the bigger choke artists of the last 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, you have back-to-back big moments where you give up walk-offs.
Just go for ball after go for ball, man.
His delivery, too, was so weird, but you like would watch the replay, and it looked so easy. You know what I mean? Like you watch it in real time, and go, how do you even throw like that? And how weird is that from a batter perspective? But then you watch the replay, and he just like served it right down the pipe.
Yeah, like throwing a frisbee right down the middle.
Yeah.
There was, I was watching on MLB Network yesterday. They had like the World Series documentary. They do one of those every year. And it's like an hour long where they interview players and stuff. And they had one from that 2001 series. And a lot of the Yankee players said the same thing, where the first time you see him, he's impossible to hit because it's so weird. It's just coming from that angle you're talking about. Like, you just can't touch it. But they saw him. He struck out the side on the eighth, but then he got into some traffic in the ninth, gave up the home run. Then he pitched again the next game. Like, they saw him a couple of days in a row, and they all got used to it, and they were able to hit it,
yeah,
which is kind of unique. But he was dominant that season, too. Like, he gave up like two home runs to right-handers the entire season and then got shelled in the World Series.
Milwaukee legend, so. Scott Brosius, step up.
That's right. Putnam legend, I believe. Didn't he go to Putnam?
Well, Milwaukee, I mean.
Okay. High school. I think he went to Putnam High School.
He went to
though.
Putnam High yeah. School, okay. But.
That's right. Milwaukee, baby.
Isn't Putnam technically in Milwaukee, Oregon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Technically?
Okay, yeah. Hey.
They have a big. Well, we played basketball there when I was in high school, and they had a big mural of him on one of their walls.
Is he still coaching college?
He was like a first. No, he was at like the Rainiers. I thought he would went into minor league ball.
I thought he was at a small. I thought he was at like George Fox or something.
Well, no, he went back to Linfield as alma mater for a while. But
that's
I think he's back, or he was going back to the major leagues.
Okay, he's going back up
as a, I don't know, hitting coach or bench.
This
coach
says he is third base. No. All right. Well, that's former.
Okay. Well, we've reached the point of the show where we find fun Scott Brosius facts.
Well, I felt like I had read that he went to Tacoma.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong on
he
that.
He could have. Yeah, maybe he's working his way back up in the big leagues. Hey, maybe a future MLB in Portland manager down the line. Huh? One other take from that World Series, too, and I tweeted this out last night. What a travesty that they tore down old Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
What a travesty. That great atmosphere and those old Yankee games when they would win and come from behind or crazy home runs would happen. Jeter hit you like that was such a good atmosphere back in the day.
I know you can say priced out, but you know those tickets back in the heyday were still really pricey. What happened to New York sports fan? They used to be animals, man. Hammered,
yeah.
Throwing popcorn on home runs, being
priced
loud.
Them out.
But see, those tickets back then had to have still been expensive to get into even that stadium back then.
You think they were still spendy, right?
Because they were winning World Series. They were on a dynasty run.
They went 4 and 5 years.
Yes.
They went to like 5 and 6 years.
Yeah, but yeah. When they put in that Founders or whatever behind it, and they went from being, you know, $200 or $300 for a ticket to $2,000 or $3,000.
Yeah, I guess you do that. That's
that Founders section right behind home plate does it, because that's the only area that you see on every pitch. And when you're right behind home plate and it's leather seats and half of them are empty because they're in like a wine bar underneath the dugout or something, you lose it. But I just thought, what a shame, because that was such a great old atmosphere. I think the only other examples you have that, you have New England. It happened a little bit for the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Foxborough used to be hard to play at, and then...
Right, and new ones. Like,
it was corporate.
The 49ers deal with that.
Absolutely.
Their new stadium lost a lot of the luster. The Cowboys, probably to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, it's just so corporate now, but...
Shocking. When you go big corporate, you kind of lose something special that you once had.
Great history at that stadium, too. I was just watching that game last night, and the crowd was going crazy. It happened to be 2001, so it was obviously heightened anticipation, but just a great atmosphere. I missed that in baseball postseason.
I hated that they won that in 96, Game 6 there. God.
That place erupted. Who will be the Bears' starting quarterback next year? We asked that. We didn't even talk about it, but 76.9% of you say Nick Foles will be. So there you go.
By the way, Texter, he is in Tacoma.
He's in Tacoma. Okay, thank you. Thank you, fan listeners. We appreciate that. Next week, we're going to unveil the favorite Blazer bracket of all time. So let the controversy ensue. We will also come up with a movie to watch, as that's going to be the next Dirt and Sprague Book Club. So if you got any ideas on that, noodle on them over the weekend. I hope everybody out there is doing okay. Week 3 has come and gone. Hope there's some form of normalcy back in everybody's lives. If you need a break, go listen to some Bill Withers this weekend. RIP to a legend. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan. I say.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.